All righty. What's up, y'all? Kevin Kuhn here from Athlete Factors. I'm with my good friend Marcus Watts. Marcus, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on, man. This is a blast.
No, thank you. You're doing me a huge favor here. So, let's see. You're kind of not to pigeonhole you or kind of back you into a corner.
Yeah, no.
But you're definitely an expert when it comes to training vegans.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So a little bit on myself. So I'm a lifestyle and fitness coach. And so basically I work mainly, Kevin, with busy professionals who recognize, hey, listen, I can't continue to live like this. You know what I mean? Like, I need to get back to some of those things that I used to do, or I can't just keep on being the out of shape, unhappy person that I've been my whole life. And they're ready to make changes. So a little background on myself, you know, I've worked with, you know, SWAT teams. I own a gym. I've owned two gyms. I helped open two facilities before that. I've, like, you know, worked with local law enforcement, both, you know, giving courses on causation and localization of pain to, like, just fixing just movement patterns in general, you know, fitness information. Mm-hmm. I played pro ball for 6 years professionally overseas after playing Division I basketball and being a McDonald's All-American high school basketball nominee. And, you know, what I work with people on mainly is, hey, listen, let's give people struggle in a few areas. One, they don't have the knowledge. Two, they lack the time management. And three, they don't have accountability. So that's where I kind of try to help people. And I started on this plant-based journey. It started for me around 2014. And before that, I was, you know, normal meathead training after I got done playing basketball, played some semi-pro football. That was fun. But, you know, I was eating, you know, I experimented with a little bit of everything because I'm constantly running experiments. Mm-hmm. Because if somebody says that, you know, they have a hypothesis on something or I have one, I want to test it. So I'm going to completely change my training. I'll completely change my nutrition, all of that, and see how it works. Intermittent fast and Atkins, South Beach diet, a paleo, you know, and I'm just going to see how my body responds. And you know, through doing that, I've learned some really cool things, and more than anything, I think Kevin found things that worked for me. And I'm like, hey, listen, this is the type of person I was, the lifestyle I was living. And if you fit in that area, this could work for you. Here's how you can run your own experiment. Yeah. In 2013, I was diagnosed with pulmonary embolism. I had two blood clots. That's a super long story, but long story short, it was completely unexplained. And I being educated on how the medical system works, and this is in no way a knock on doctors. I speak with doctors. I just got back from speaking with a cardiologist and an ER trauma physician or trauma doctor. But it's no way a knock on doctors. But when you're aware of how the system works and what's allowed to happen, you understand that of, you know, 10 plus years of school, you know, doctors, physicians only spend about 1% of that time actually learning about nutrition. Mm-hmm. So system's not really set up to prevent you from getting sick. It's meant to medicate you. If you understand what medicine is, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of took things into my own hands. And at the time I was about 7.5% body fat. I was about 228 pounds. I was strong. I was lean. I looked good. I felt great. There was no explanation for what was happening to me. Mm-hmm. So I decided to take things into my own hands, and I began experimenting with the plant-based diet in 2014. And it just turned into something I never really could expect. During the time that I was injured, I gained about 30 pounds because I like to eat and I wasn't working out. I couldn't work out for 16 months. I'm going to keep it real with you.
Wow.
But I started experimenting with the plant-based diet, and I started losing a ton of fat. When I was clear to train, I got really strong, stronger than I had been 16 months prior. Within a month, I was stronger than 16 months prior. When I literally, the day I got injured, bro, I set 100 kg snatch PR at the time. And wow. I snatched like 245 and barely missed at 250 within like less than 3 weeks of being back. So it was pretty eye-opening. At that point, it was just an experiment, Kevin. Mm-hmm. And I was like, something's happening here. And again, this is 2014, 2015. I was like, I have to continue this. And here I am now. And, you know, The Vegan Transition is my blog. And I'm just kind of on this journey of, it's not really about, like, bro, like, I would love it if, you know, there are a lot of reasons, you know, with the environment and stuff like that, that we could talk about that I'm like, hey guys, you know, I wish more people would stop eating meat and go plant-based, but I really don't care about that. I just care that people are educated on how you can use plants and understanding the vitamins and mineral deficiency that most people have and how plants can help with that. And if in the process, bro, I can get somebody to, you know, start to experiment with it some more, then, you know, that's good enough for me. Cause it's a journey for us, man, for all of us.
Yeah, no, I think that's that what you were saying about experimenting is super important, because you probably wouldn't have been as likely to experiment with a more plant-based diet if you hadn't been doing experimentation with other stuff first. So I think so many people are afraid. They're scared to switch things up, right? They want to assume like, no, like what's popular right now? What's trending right now? Okay, that's what I need to do. Instead of let's see how this works for a little while. If I'm getting some benefit, maybe I'll keep doing it. If I'm not getting any benefit, maybe I'll try something else. And I think that's super important. And the fact that you were getting such amazing results so quick speaks to, you know, it's really effective for you.
Yeah,
probably,
yeah.
Probably something you want to stick with.
Right. you know what I would say the biggest, I'll say probably the largest hindering factor to why people don't run, aren't open to running experiments is because they don't understand how experiments run. You know, just like, you know, when you're reading a study, you have to understand that, you know, most people don't know how to read a study, you know, like the, you know, the first, you know, parts of a study are really them convincing you why their study is so why the results they got are so legit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like when you're listening to polls on the news, right? They're telling you, oh, well, 43% of people, and then it's like, you know, once you start taking classes and, you know, in college, that's really what exposed me to it. I think it was in sociology when they were talking about, when they were explaining, you know, oh yeah, there's a study done on people or whatever. You know, what do you think of it? And I'm like, oh, well, the data proves. And they're like, yeah, this study was done on people walking outside of a movie theater in DC at 2 a.m. in the morning on a Friday night. It's like, oh, wow. Okay. That's probably not the, you know what I mean? Like,
not a very good sample group.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good sample group for people who are out in DC at the movies at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what a lot of people don't know. And maybe, Kevin, that's where we need more people like you explaining what goes into running. And because I was exposed to those things, because I surrounded myself with people like yourself. Again, guys, I'm not a master's kinesiology. I did not even finish college. I went overseas to play ball and start making money for my family, straight up. Everything that I have are certifications and honestly like school of hard knocks. But you know, you hear me say this all the time. I'm constantly seeking out a multitude of mentors and playing pro ball and training with Olympic level trainers that beat Team USA and, you know, getting to play in all these different countries all over the world. I was exposed to some great, great stuff, you know, but most people, they don't know how, so they don't understand that. Okay. I've got a training log. I've got a hypothesis. Right. I think that this is going to happen. I'm going to run the experiment for this long, and this is how I'm going to gauge that. I'm going to track my sleep. I'm going to track my hydration. I know how much I should be eating, and I'm going to keep track of days that I'm actually hitting those numbers, and I'm getting that sleep, and I'm getting that hydration. Okay, now I'm going to train. Now, the goal that I have is to get stronger. Okay, so that means I need to be in a caloric surplus, and I need to be doing movements that are going to get me the most, the largest gains in strength. I need to be doing pushes, pulls, you know, some of my favorites, RDLs, bent over rows, weighted pull-ups, weighted dips, you know what I'm saying? Hang cleans, hang power cleans, things like that. You know what I'm saying? Front squats, back squats, you know, whatever, you know, bilateral, unilateral. Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? And it's not complicated. Okay. Now, if I want to get shredded, you know, my nutrition is going to look different. The training needs to be more, you know, hypertrophy based. You know, if I'm just trying to move, then just, you know, or I find a lot of people that come to me now will be like, yeah, you know, back when I used to do, and you get this in CrossFit all the time, right? I know you hear this, like, yeah, you know, I was in my best shape back when I was doing CrossFit. You know what? When people say that, that means that you had no life. I'm going to say it, okay? Because when you start doing CrossFit, you completely disregard all other friends. You leave work early, okay? And you work out like 5 to 6 days a week. Yeah. You do a class and then you hang out for like 30 minutes to another 2 hours a day doing a bunch of extra shit. No wonder you got shredded, okay?
Yeah, that was your life.
You don't have time for that anymore. Yeah. Now you have 45 minutes, 75 minutes if you're lucky, and it's at 5 in the morning, and then you're sitting at a desk all day struggling to eat to not eat crap because they've got all this food in the office. You're not surrounded by that anymore, mm-hmm. and people don't understand – well, listen, I can't expect those results. Listen, if I just wanted the fastest path to get in shape, like when I was playing ball, I would just practice for 3 hours a day playing basketball. I would lift weights every day and play, you know, 3 to 4 games a week. And at that point, I can literally eat almost anything that I want because the engine is going to turn on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The engine will turn on. Yep. But my body can't keep up with that. And that's not realistic for me. So I think that's where we lose so many people. And I tell people, I've had a few people, like trainers, man, and they're like, yeah, you know, I'm going to go vegan. This particular girl. I was like, yo, don't do that. She was like, no, I'm going to do it. You know, I did a bunch of studying and like on my birthday, day after my birthday, I was like, your body's not going to like that because it is used to being fueled a certain way. Mm-hmm. And you're now going to take that away and make it be fueled by something else. I was like, you're going to need to increase your greens by like, no joke, like 3 to 4 times. If you want to combat what your body wants, is going to want to, how your body's going to want to respond, do that. And she's like, so I would have like 6 to 9 servings of like veggies a day. I was like, yes, yes. Because then you'll increase your micronutrient intake and your body's not going to recognize what's happening. That's what I found in the studies. Mm. Now, when you just start eating like more plants, but you take away the meat, you take away the eggs, you take away the fish, you take away the sugar sources, you take away the normal carb sources, your body's like, no, no. Like this is going to be, we're going to make this painful for you. And yeah. You go into, you know, the same thing, you know, the keto flu, the vegan flu, the paleo flu, you know, and some people, especially if your immune system drops, this particular girl, one of her friends came to town, gave her cold. Now she's transitioning, what gets a cold, your body's going to quit on you, you know? So
yeah,
it's all experimentation, man. And understanding how to do it properly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For a lot of people going from one extreme to a complete, it could be viewed as another extreme or just something different.
It is.
The body can't tell that, you know, like it's extreme for the body.
It
and
is.
So that's a very difficult thing to just say, like, oh, I'm committing to this. Like, okay, well, that's nice in theory.
Yeah.
But yeah, one of the biggest things that I talk about with regards to nutrition is the most important thing before we discuss calories, before we discuss macros, before we discuss nutrient timing, all that. Adherence is number one. If you can't see yourself doing this long term, then don't bother. So
yeah. You know, it's funny because it's along the same lines. I'm like, they're like, hey, I want to go vegan. I'm like, hey, why don't you start eating like you give a damn first? Like, okay, all right, I'll tell people like stop eating like an asshole first. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Let's start intaking more quality foods on the regular. Let's make it a part of our lives. Then we can talk about doing some of these other things. We can talk about, okay, now that we've got a better routine, we're doing something that again is sustainable, because we need to find, like, you know, when it comes to adherence, I'm like, listen, it's unrealistic. I do not ask, like, listen, if you're doing a prep, like that's different. Yo, you need to get your shit together. You need to cut the alcohol. You cannot be having cupcakes. But if right. you're just a regular everyday person, I'm like, so when's pizza night?
Yeah.
They're like, what? I'm like, well, there's got to be something that you've got to, you know, feel like you're staying the course. It's going to be pretty hard to just go. And they're like, oh, okay. Now it's a lot easier. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same thing with the training, man. You can't just be like, all right, I'm ready. You know what? I'm about to get jacked. I'm going to go from doing hypertrophy training or bro splits to doing a powerlifting cycle. Like, bro, you're going to break. You know, like your body's not ready. You need to, you know what I mean? Let's prepare your body. Let's, you know, let's start to, you know, accumulate this volume. And then, you know, probably your second phase, you know what I mean? That's when, you know, you'll really be able to start to see some progress, but, mm-hmm. and you can stick to it. So
exactly. Like that's the most important thing is consistency over time. It's with training, it's accumulating volume. With nutrition, it's accumulating volume.
It's the exact same. It's no different.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's one of those things. Like people ask me, you know, fairly often, like, oh, should I eat vegan? Is that, I'm like, I don't know. Is that what you want to do? If it is, and you can see yourself doing it long-term, then perfect. That's the most important thing. From there, let's talk about your caloric need. Let's talk about your protein need. Let's talk about your fat need, your carb need. Let's talk about your micros. Let's talk about nutrient timing. If things still aren't working, then we can discuss supplementation. But it's like, that's the order that I do it in. And like you can be, from my perspective, from everything I've seen, you can be successful on any diet.
I was just about to say that.
But you still got to follow those rules.
Yeah, yeah. So, and, I think too much people are, like you were talking about with the training, they'll jump on the cool thing. Too often people are just taking what someone else did or said as the gospel. I tell people, yo, guys, do not take my word for it. Like, go, number one, go do research. Number two, understand, you have to understand the circumstances at which this experiment for myself ran. How did I lose 10 pounds in, 2 weeks or something, without like serious, like starving myself or having any crazy restrictions? Well, I trained like this and I could sleep like this and I was able to eat these foods. And I always tell people, I'm like, you can be successful on any, I mean, guys are doing it. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger, like, and Mike Tyson are vegan now. Mm-hmm. Now they're vegan. But like before, they were like flourishing, you know? They all talk about how they feel so much better now, their joints, their bones and stuff, which leads them to be like, dang, I wish I kind of knew this before, because they understand how to make it possible. We can get into that more later. But like, when I was paleo, when I was eating paleo, bro, I was shredded. And I was consuming about 350 grams of fat a day. I was having about 4,900 calories. But it was just easiest for me to get a ton of calories from fat. It was great for like brain function. Like I always felt like a lot of mental clarity. Mm-hmm. My training was phenomenal. There are a lot of other things that come into it too. Like my family's from Jamaica. Mm. So we eat a lot of red meat. We eat a lot of fatty foods. My people, you know what I'm saying? And everybody has a people, you know? Strength Sensei did the same type of study on a Canadian player in the off season. He wanted to get in better shape in the off season. When he went home, he only had him eat the foods that the native people in that part of Canada ate like for hundreds of years. Like only the foods that were like, obviously, listen, we know it's not paleo. We understand like what he could have, he had those types of foods. Yeah. And just that change alone, body composition completely different. Had another girl that was from her family's originally, she's obviously, you know, she grew up in New York, but family originally from Ireland. And she lost a lot of weight, got in really good shape. Now she was doing a bulk phase. And she was like, man, I'm really worried because my fats are so high. And I was like, you know, just follow. She was actually following RP, which has great stuff. I've worked with them before. They had me test out some of their vegan programs. I love it because everything that they do is based in science and you can read their books. Mm-hmm. But so she goes through this bulk phase. She's like, dude, I put on mass. My body composition is exactly the same, but I was having like three times as many fats. I was like, hey, where are your people from? She was like, what? I was like, where's your family from? She was like, she's like, New York. I was like, no. Where's your family from? You from New York. You ain't from New York. Your family ain't from New York. Okay. They ran from somewhere. Okay. So she was like, oh, Ireland. I was like, oh, like the amount of dense carbohydrates and animal fats that you guys have are insane. And she was like, I was like, that plays a part into it. And that's something a lot of people don't understand. You know, people knock keto, and I know that there are a lot of studies that go both ways. Listen, some people are thriving on it, but they're not you. They don't have the they don't have the stressors on the organism. They don't have the schedule. They, you know what I'm saying? Are their blood labs exactly the same as yours? Which is the first thing you should be doing before doing anything. You should be getting some blood labs done.
Yeah.
And that's why these things will work, you know? So it's just so many different ways to accomplish the goal. Again, like for me, you know, it's plants and it's turned into more of a deeper mission for me. But if I can just spread that information and like, yo, like, bro, seek out a multitude of mentors, run experiments, find the best people that you can get a hold of, like the best people that you can get a hold of, follow them, do your research. You can get results on anything, man. You know, plants just happen to be a thing for me that I've run a bunch of it. Like I've run like the whole food, like eating the foods. And then I've run the, because before going plant-based, and hearing BioLane talk about it, I still was kind of the old school mentality, like you got to eat whole foods, you got to eat whole foods, you know what I mean? Like calories aren't just calories. And you know, in the sense of like having protein shakes, maybe, even though there are a lot of guys that live off protein shakes, first of all, but like, bro, most of my diet for a long time, just and I'll revert back to it as needed. Smoothies, straight up. Like, bro, I've had athletes put on big time muscle mass just by adding like, you know, a 1600 calorie smoothie like into their day. I'm like, yo, just drink it like throughout your day. Let's see how your body responds. Now these are high performance, you know, football players and stuff like that. They need the calories. And they're like, man, it was so easy. I put on 10 pounds. Yeah, you didn't really put on 10 pounds of muscle, but your body was hungry for this and you just needed the calories. So
yeah,
that's one way that I've made it easy for me. For anybody out there that's wondering, is like, you know, simple smoothie with like, go to the grocery store and like ask for like the spotty bananas. They'll sell them to you for dumb cheap. Peel them, freeze them. By the way, when the bananas are spotty, most people don't like them because they're so bougie. When we're kids, nobody wants those spotty bananas. That's you're like traumatized your whole life because of that. But those spotty
bananas, yellow.
Yeah. Those spotty bananas are, one, they're sweeter naturally. Number two, they they've got the highest concentration of like nutrients because they've ripened. So, you freeze them. Berries, freeze them. All my fruits I freeze because I like to put them in smoothies, right? So like two bananas, let's say like that right there is gonna be, you know what I'm saying, plus almond milk is gonna be about 50 grams of carbs. So good, maybe calories. Somebody smaller. Yeah, somebody smaller than me doesn't necessarily need that. But like I would make a shake with like, you know, scoop of protein powder, some hemp hearts, maybe some other types of seeds or nut butter where I can get some more protein. You know, add a couple bananas, add a couple cups of spinach, as much greens as I can actually, you know, add some berries, you know, some almond milk, some ground cinnamon. Now I've got like two or three meals to have. And it's like easy for me to just be on the go and intake like healthy fats, you know what I'm saying? Healthy carbs, you know, not have processed foods. And especially when I'm trying to put on size, it's just easy to take in those calories.
Yeah, like it's so easy to eat a lot of calories in one meal or in one day. It's hard.
That's what it helps with, yeah.
It's hard to have that planned out for a week and then a month and then 6 months. So like that's where supplementation fits in, or that's where like finding these ways to make hitting your nutrition goals more convenient. Like
whatever you got to do. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I used to be big on, you know, the carb supplements and stuff. And then, but once I started doing smoothies, I was just like, man, what am I doing this for? Like just blend up some bananas and, you know, and then just throw some protein powder in there. You know, RP put me big on that back in the day to where I started doing, you know, intra training shakes, you know, 8 to 10 ounces of, my favorite is like 8 to 10 ounces of grape juice. With like a good, you have to have a good vanilla protein. It's, do not do it with chocolate. It tastes horrible. Vanilla protein and grape juice, and it tastes good, and it's it mixes well. And now I'm able to, you know what I'm saying, intake some calories in my training, or like break your fast if you needed to. You could break your fast like literally while you're doing your training, which I wouldn't suggest for fat loss, but if you're trying to gain some size and You know what I'm saying? Maybe you did some cardio in the morning, fasted, and now you're going to come lift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just so you're putting a little bit of gas in the tank, you can get a much more potent training stimulus if the body's like, oh, here's some quick energy.
Yeah.
Utilize that.
Yeah, a lot of people see, like, especially the girls, because I find that women in general aren't women in general until they learn when they're earlier on in their training life, like pushing to like sub. I never say max effort, but sub maximal. It's a newer thing for women. So when they have a little bit, and then most times they're already under eating as it is. Mm-hmm. So when they get a little bit of fuel in their training and then they see themselves like not being tired like they were before, now they're like, oh, wait a minute. And then, so I've noticed that to be a good help as well. But yeah, all of it, man, it's just, run the experiment, man. And for me, the plants, bro, it's so easy for me to get the nutrients in that I need to get. And it taught me so much, using Moringa, how to make my own workouts, using beets, beet juice, maca, all these different things. I get sick. It's like, all right, boom, turmeric, ginger, apple cider vinegar, and, shots, stuff like that. I mean, they don't taste too great, but it's doing what we need. It's going to reduce the inflammation. It's going to, put the things in your body, the essential minerals that your body needs, so it's been a fun journey for me, bro.
Yeah. I think just like any other type of diet, if you're educated on the strengths and weaknesses of specific types of food and you know how to leverage all of that,
that's what it is.
You can be really successful. And I feel like you're an excellent spokesperson because you're not just doing it to do it. Like, you're studying it. You are a student of nutrition. Yeah. And you're taking the time to learn all that stuff and then experiment with it to see if it's actually working for you.
Yeah. The biggest knock that I hear is on the complete protein, which, so I've tested it a couple different ways. So for you guys to understand, and Kevin, jump in anytime, what most people don't understand is that a complete protein, number one, is 9 essential amino acids. Oh, yeah. 9, right? So you have all these different 9. They come together. They make a complete protein. So when you have chicken, you're getting
it. Already there.
When you're having beef, you're getting it. When you're having eggs, you're getting it, okay? In those foods, you're getting a complete protein in one shot. Now, when you're having plants, you may have a couple things that have like 2 of those, right? Not a complete protein, right? Mm-hmm. So I've got to be smart and I've got to add some different things, another food that all together, all together are going to now, this mix of plants are going to make a complete protein. Mm-hmm. So a couple things on a complete protein talk. First off, gaining muscle and strength with a complete protein emphasis. There are a lot of really good studies out there that show you that the more important thing is caloric intake, because your body's not saying, where are the complete proteins? Your body's saying, where is the fuel so I don't have to feed on myself? Mm-hmm. And we've done this for thousands of years, right? We've survived, famine. We've survived, drought. Your body's going to use whatever it has to. So, I've done it where at about 240 pounds, I was having less than the recommended 0.8 grams. It's per kilo, right? Because I see it back and forth the minimum amount you need to maximize muscle protein synthesis. I see studies both ways, but originally I saw it as 0.8 grams per kilo. Mm-hmm. Now, I a lot of times equate that to, it comes out pretty close most of the time to what your lean mass would be. Mm-hmm. So I just, a lot of times we'll just do that 0.8 gram per. So bro, where I was like 250, 245, and I'm consuming like 100 grams of protein a day, maybe. Bro, I'm squatting for 40. I'm close grip, pause benching for 3 seconds, 335. I am windmilling off of vertical. Like I'm athletic.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, so that works. So like I'll just like walk in the gym, like never, like just pull 500 in 3 minutes, build up like bang, 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 bang. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Now the thing about that is body composition is not going to be what you want. It's not, your composition won't be what you want, period. Mm-hmm. Right. Because you're not getting the proportions. If you're trying to get shredded, your protein is going to have to be higher because we got to take some of these other calories away. It's just what it is, right? Mm-hmm. BioLane actually has a good book out on
Fat Loss Forever.
It's the contest prep.
Oops. Yeah, that's
the contest prep on this one, mm-hmm, is actually really good. Now, it's a little bit, when you start to get deep into this stuff, like I would just, if you don't, just skip over some of it, just understand the principles, but overall you're gonna learn a lot from that.
Mm-hmm.
But so then I was like, okay, now let's switch this around and let's do to what, you know, for like my age, it would be like it was something like 2.4 grams of protein. It was like 2.4. I can't remember what it was, but it would end up being, it was like 2.4. The equation was like multiplying my calories sounds like 2.4. So where it's about 216 to 230 grams of protein that I would be intaking a day.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the strength was the same,
mm-hmm,
right? Now, the more carbs I get, the stronger I'm going to feel.
Yeah.
But my body composition is not going to be the same. So that whole complete protein thing is honestly something I did not really pay a ton of attention to after I saw the studies and then I ran some experiments. But bro, that's what a lot of people will go to, you know, like,
yeah,
when I first posted about, hey, I'm having a meal that's a plant-based pasta, you know, like a lentil pasta and like one of the faux meats, which is great in transitioning, but I don't have a ton because it's not the most natural source of food that I can get, you know, it's processed, yeah, you know? Yep. I just remember, bro, I was like, yeah, you know, this meal has 70 grams of protein and it's plant-based. It's like when I back, you know, just getting on Facebook and posting again. And bro, all these coaches just reamed me. I mean, they went nuts. You know, this is 2014, 2015.
Yeah.
And I remember I never responded. I never responded. And a lot of them I knew. They were shitting on me, man.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole plant protein talk, the complete protein talk. And I was like, man, I've read all the books. I know the studies you're talking about. But guys, I'm running the experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm stronger than all you guys. You know what I mean? So, like, I can do 40 strict pull-ups. Like, I can do 60 kipping pull-ups. Like, I can, at 245 pounds, I can do a strict muscle-up. I can walk on my hands 80 feet. I can run a mile in, you know what I'm saying? I couldn't run like I used to. You know, back when I was playing pro ball, it was like to test my groin. I was telling somebody, I was like, this is kind of crazy. To test if my groin was healed, it was a 5 minute, sub 5:30 minute mile on a treadmill.
It's pretty good.
That's like the level that these guys are at. Like, just, it's like one of the small stories. And I wasn't even like a freak.
That's
Yeah. Moving, but like, at that point, I realized this is going against what a lot of these coaches, and if there's one thing I hope that people pull away, Kevin, is this. This is the things that I was doing were going against what the industry said was the only way.
Mm-hmm.
So people not like Kevin, not like you, who can't adapt and who have not run the experiments, I don't feel like I can argue against something unless I can argue for it. If you're a professional and you can't argue for something, I don't care what you got behind your name. I lose all respect for you.
Mm-hmm.
I just 100% I lose respect for you. I could argue for paleo. I could argue for eating meat.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason I could argue against it, because I had the data. And it was threatening a lot of people's careers. Now, this is 2014, so it's cool to shit on me back then. Now it's like David Carter and all these guys in the NFL and Kyrie Irving and, you know what I'm saying, DeAndre Jordan. And now it's like everybody has to take notice of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just recognize that. So you guys got to remember that a lot of these people, when they're telling you stuff, like, where are they getting their information from? Like, ask somebody, oh, have you tested that? No, I just, okay, well, what study did you get it off of? Well, you know what I mean? So
yeah. What were the limitations of that study? Mm-hmm. How long did it last? What are all the details related to it? Was that the actual, were the results and the discussion actually what the researchers were saying, or is that what someone else concluded from the data? Like, there's so much of that in there.
Yeah.
That reminds me of something right around this same time period, 2013, 2014. There was a study. It was out of a school in Florida. They were comparing.
Sounds right.
They were comparing whey and I think it may have been rice protein or pea protein, but the goal was to determine, okay, if we, to make up for that potential difference in quote unquote complete protein, yeah, what if we match the leucine content? Because that's the amino acid.
The most important, yeah.
Yeah. So as soon as
can you touch on that for those that don't know why leucine is one of the essential amino acids, but it's the most important.
For sure. When it comes to the synthesis of new muscle protein, so if your goal is to adapt, repair, recover, get stronger, get faster, improve your body composition, all of that, hitting your protein goal for the day is extremely important. But then, like, one step below that when it comes to protein is getting enough leucine, especially in one sitting, to maximally stimulate the synthesis of new muscle protein. And leucine,
that your body can absorb.
Yes. So leucine does that. It's like the limiting factor in maximal or in stimulating muscle protein synthesis.
What's muscle protein synthesis, Kevin?
So that's the creation of new muscle protein. Your body can't really store nitrogen well. So protein contains nitrogen. Amino acids contain nitrogen. So your body is in this constant flux of either recycling amino acids or recycling protein or getting rid of nitrogen so that then you have to then consume more nitrogen. So you can't just hold on to protein and nitrogen in the way that you can store carbohydrate and fat. So right. The reason that leucine is the rate limiting factor is because it's like, you can think about leucine as a specific amino acid car on a train. So it's like a train car.
Right.
Well, leucine is actually the engine. So it's the very first car in that sequence. You can have a line of 100 amino acids, right? So 100 individual train cars, but without that engine at the front, the mm-hmm. train's going nowhere. So you could have all the other amino acids, essential and non-essential amino acids, but without enough leucine, that train just doesn't move. So
a lot of times leucine's like, it's like three times the amount that you need of the others, right?
It can be. Yeah. It can be. So okay. To maximally stimulate muscle protein synthesis for the average person, it's usually about 3 grams. And so, for bigger bodies, yeah, for more muscle mass, you might need to bump that up to 5-6 mm-hmm. grams, let's say. So the whole goal of the study was to match leucine. So
in rice and whey protein.
Yeah. Or it may have been pea, but
Okay. Yeah. Probably was pea. It probably was pea. Cause it's more like
a little more common probably. Mm-hmm. So it's a tough comparison because whey is like that I know of, it's the highest concentration of leucine.
Yeah.
So plant-based proteins tend to not be very concentrated when it comes to leucine. So in order to match leucine, I think they had to almost double the dose mm-hmm. of protein, right? So mm-hmm. you were getting like, I think they did like 25 to 27 grams of whey to get about 3 grams of leucine. And then they had to almost double. I think they were like 40 to 50.
That's what I was going to say. It probably is like 45 to 50 because a normal serving is like, what, like 29 to 35 grams?
Mm-hmm.
So it, yeah, it probably was like upwards of like anywhere from 45 to 60, probably like 60.
So as soon as they matched leucine, I'm pretty sure everything else was matched.
Mm-hmm.
So I think protein for the day was matched. I think calories were matched. I'm not completely sure. I don't think it matters that much. What they found was as soon as you matched leucine, the results were exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they did a follow-up test and they decided to, instead of matching protein to match leucine, they just supplemented with a plant-based leucine to match the leucine concentration in the whey. And it was, when it comes to muscle performance, body composition, etc., you can get away with a lesser amount of protein as long as you're supplementing with leucine.
Exactly. And this is where, when we were talking about, again, these are all loose terms, right? The experiments I'm talking about that I ran, when I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go plant-based. All right, well, I don't want to like have drops in energy because then it's gonna affect my training, and I don't want to deal with, I'm just gonna take in more micronutrients. Let's do it. All right, normally, what, you know, 3 servings of greens a day, a little more if I'm doing like a serious cut. So I'm like, all right, cool. Let's triple that. I'm just gonna triple it.
Why not?
And I'm like a handful. So for me, that's like, you know, basketball. I'm like, all right, handful of this, handful of that, handful of that. And my plates were bigger. So which, number one, I got to eat more, which I like. It was more filling, but I didn't have this like heavy feeling afterwards. And because I was getting the nutrients, I was able to overcome that. And that's what we're talking about. When the thing about plants that people have to understand is it's all in nature. You flavor your food with plants. The most of the animals that you're eating, they don't eat other animals. They eat plants. I don't like the argument of like, well, a rhino, listen, it's cool. It's cool to be like, yeah, a rhino and an elephant. It's cool to say that they eat plants. Their digestion is completely different, okay? The amount of testosterone, the hormones are completely different. That's why I don't look like a rhino or an elephant, okay? Mm-hmm. But the concept of how it works is there for you to start to ask questions about, you know? And like I said, the biggest thing that I've found in that, and this is, you know, David Carter, who was the first NFL, the first vegan in NFL, we're working together on some projects. We actually have a documentary and doing some really cool stuff with American Ninja Warrior and some dope shit happening in the next year.
Nice.
And, you know, same thing. He's just like, yeah, man, like initially, so this is a defensive tackle, you know, he can't be losing weight. He's like, he dropped from like 285. He was already a small defensive tackle. He dropped from like 285 to like 260 and like panicked and then learned without like, just, he was pretty much just counting calories pretty much. And just like making sure he got enough because he knew the calories that he needed to get in order to stay the same, to be that size.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that he found was that it was easier, and without any of the super in-depth nutrition stuff, his body just started performing to where he, at the time, I think he could only bench like 315 like once because of like the shoulder and elbow pain and joint pain that he had, to where he was hitting like 350 for multiple reps and sets. And he's after practice now, you know, at 285, 290 running sprints with defensive backs. And this is the biggest thing too that I found is once you find that balance of plants and calories, bro, my body felt amazing. And if you don't, as somebody that I felt pain since I was 12 years old, straight up knee pain, shoulder pain, you know, between tendonitis and playing on basketball courts, getting smacked in football, you know, playing quarterback, like just pain. And for the first time at 32 years old, I was like, there's no pain.
Mm.
And so I had to understand why.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, my joint inflammation is down. So I'm not supposed to have dairy. Like a lot of people don't respond well to dairy, you know, and a lot of people just perform fine on it. You know what I mean? A lot of people are taking away protein. That's fine. You know? Yeah, yeah, exactly. They're performing fine on it. But yeah, that's what we're talking about. Like, yo, if your body's not, you know, or a lot of times people have a tolerance built up, I found as well. So like, I'm just one to just start removing. I'm like, yo, I'm having this a lot. I'm going to remove it from my diet, you know, to see how my body responds, you know, do a little food elimination, and then I'll find, maybe I find something, maybe I don't. Like, I ran a few experiments actually where, like I can't eat meat now. Like the smell of it, like the taste, the when I smell it, sometimes it makes me a little bit nauseous. But other times when I smell it, like I smell a burger, it reminds me of like a cookout, you know, block parties. And our association with food is by smell anyway. So, but I can't eat it now. It just how it makes me feel. But I ran experiments, you know, being a year in, even 2 years in, I was like, all right, let's see what happens. I want to see how my body responds. And this is before I kind of took the stance of thinking, you know, equating my dog to being, some people aren't going to like this, you know, my dog to being a steak or a burger. Because in some places they eat horse steaks and they eat dogs. It's just, you don't have to like it. It's happening in other places. That kind of became a problem for me. The deeper I got into it, never expected that shit. But so I tried, I was like, all right, I'm going to have this burger. I'm going to have this. And my body responded fine. Like, after having it out of my diet, I was expecting, and it didn't happen. So what it told me was, well, my body can tolerate it just fine, or at least in these smaller amounts, just fine. Which speaks again to like hereditary, you know, my people are from Jamaica, you know, we have curry goat, you know what I mean? And oxtail and stuff like that. And so I did, I haven't done that in a long time. That was actually before I went like actual like vegan, but still tests, you know what I mean? So it's not the gospel, you know, but just learn more about it, I guess, you know?
Yeah, for sure. My, one of my clients who is vegan, every year at the Texas State Fair, he gets a Frito pie. It's like, I have to, it's the state fair.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So
Texas State Fair is another one. I used to live in Fort Hood, so I know all about that.
Yeah,
I grew up in Fort Hood, so
Texas, it's a big deal.
Everything is different in Texas, so
that's true. That's very true. Yeah, I think I have a corn dog once a year, and it's usually at the fair. And then, like two bites into it, I'm like, yeah,
exactly.
I don't need this.
Yeah,
but yeah, you know, you coat it in mustard and then you finish it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess if there was a biggest takeaway, it would just be the mindset of just having that openness to learning. Like, I hate when I see people, they're like, they'll comment, they'll be like, yeah, fitness isn't a journey. It's not a journey. It's a destiny. I'm like, or they'll be like, you know, it's not, I don't know. People just get so weird. Or like, I do videos sometimes and I'm like, yo, I'm gonna be real with you guys. Like, I do not like working out. Like, I don't like working out anymore. Like, I worked out my whole life. Like every day, I was in the eighth grade waking up at 5 a.m. to go to the gym because I was afraid. Like most of my training was built in fear. Like I was afraid if I didn't put in the work, someone was going to work harder than me. So now when I work out, I just want to enjoy it, you know? And I don't always want to work out. Like I feel great once I start, but I don't always want to do it, you know?
Oh yeah.
But I understand that that's going to help me to get that result. You know what I mean? So I'm constantly running experiments. I'm constantly keeping that in mind. I'm constantly just trying to find what works for me. And you got to take that away from this conversation. You know what I'm saying? Find what works for you. Be willing to be open. Be willing to test stuff. And, you know, don't just take stuff as the gospel, man. Ask Kevin questions when you guys are looking at all his content, media and stuff. Just ask questions because I really do think, Kevin, if I hadn't started to understand, you know, how experiments ran, because I didn't go to school for it, obviously. I was going to school for business. If I hadn't started to understand how studies ran and how, you know, experiments were portrayed and all that stuff, I wouldn't have had so much of the information that I had for so long. I mean, I remember back when people were still saying that eating whole eggs were like too many of them were bad for you.
Yeah.
Like I remember I dated a girl, she was a medic and she was like, you need to stop eating all those. Cause I was having like 7 to 10 eggs a day and I was, it was just the easiest way for me to get. And I loved it. Yeah. And I was like, yo, those. Yeah. I was like, yo, those studies have been disproven for like 10 years. It just takes a long time for those peer review studies to come to light. And yeah. She was like, so now, of course, all those people are on board. You know, Arnold's been talking about it for years. He's like I never understood. Like, I do understand why people eat egg whites, but I just don't want to waste the egg. It's like I could remove fats from somewhere else and get the minerals back then. You know what I mean? Now, obviously not, but that's just one example, you know, of people. Which, and then what happens? They're like, oh, yeah, like, it's not a big deal. And then, like, CrossFit, like, always putting out stuff about, like, you know, don't have rice and, like, you know, only have sweet potatoes. And I was like, yo, let me tell you this. If it grows from the earth, I'm eating it.
Yeah.
Period. If it grows from the earth, I'm going to eat it. I'm not going to have like, I'm not going to have white potatoes or red potatoes or sweet potatoes or only this type of green. No, I'm going to, and then I'll pay attention to how my body responds, you know?
Yeah. Like that's the thing. If you apply morality to food and you remove entire food groups or entire food items, then you individually better have a good reason for that. Mm-hmm. But like, you can't just paint it like broad brush, because just like with exercise, you can't say this is a good exercise or a bad exercise. Right. Maybe for this individual, mm-hmm. doing a movement that way is bad.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right?
It's going to have a negative outcome. Especially when it comes to food, the dose makes the poison. Like if you go, if all you did were to eat almonds all day, if that's all you did, you'd probably die, because there's, I think it's arsenic mm-hmm. in almonds. Like you eat enough and then you poison yourself. Right. So
water poisoning.
Exactly.
One of the most deadly, like you get water poisoning. It's like, well, it was nice to know you. Like, we can't help you.
Yeah. Hyponatremia, hypernatremia. You get too much water. You get too many electrolytes. Like, that's – so, yeah, it's – the body is, you know, like pH, right? We're centered right around 7, mm-hmm. okay? You go too far one way or too far the other, that's not good, right? Mm-hmm. So, it's the same thing. Like, there's a range for everything. I just saw the other day somebody posting about I think it's apricot kernels. Like, those contain cyanide. Like, maybe you shouldn't be eating a lot of those, but maybe one is okay. So maybe don't experiment with stuff that contains a lot of, like, you know, poison. Man,
that's such a good point. Bro, I would get people and it would be, I remember when I was like, you know, I was going through the transition. So I was eating, when I was vegetarian. So I was still having fish, you know, I was having like, you know, I took out the chicken and the beef. And I was having like, you know, some fish or shrimp, eggs, and just trying to find more ways to start to understand how I could get the, you know, plant proteins. Mm-hmm. And people were like, what is it? They're like, be careful of, what is it that's like in mercury poisoning? And I was like, really, bro? Like,
yeah.
Really? Like, you're going to talk to me about mercury poisoning while you're smoking cigarettes? While you're smoking cigarettes. Yeah. Every product in your house is, like, full of chemicals that are not naturally occurring.
Yeah.
And none of the foods you get are whole foods.
Yeah. They're chowing down on, like, a McDonald's hamburger and telling you not to eat so much fish.
Oh, watch your mercury poisoning. Oh, my. Come on, man. Like, but that's what people... You know what I'm saying? In order to make themselves, I've in my experience, you know, in order to make themselves kind of quantify what they're doing as being superior to what you're doing, those are the type of things that people will say. Oh, you know, your clients are out and they're like, you know, oh, I have to stick to my nutrition. Oh, you need to live a little. You need to enjoy. You can enjoy yourself sometimes. I enjoy this. Like, I enjoy coming to a bar and just having a vodka soda, and that was like extreme, but I liked it.
Yeah.
My girlfriend's got protein shakes in her purse. Like, she got, you know, Like,
it's amazing.
In 3 hours, we're going to call Chili's to go, and they're going to bring me food to this bar, or else we're leaving. I enjoy it. I enjoy performing. I enjoy eating like this and not falling. This is what makes me happy. You know what I mean? So people are always going to try to throw something at you. You know, oh, yo, you don't have to work out today. It's like, no, but you know, it makes me kind of happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's a lot of things that I do every day that I don't enjoy. Like, yeah, I don't like waking up at 4:30 every day. Like, I wish that I could set my alarm, wake up at 4:30 and be like, well, I'm going to go back to bed. Mm-hmm. But then I get up and I go to work, and then I get to interact with people that I enjoy interacting with. Like, my clients are a lot of fun. And then, you know, 5 minutes into the session, I'm like,
exactly.
I'm glad I'm here.
Exactly how the working out is. I'm like, oh God, once I get a sweat going, I'm like, oh shit, let's go.
You feel good.
Yeah. You know what I tell people, man? Sometimes people say, you know, oh, you know, it's a lot when it comes to work projects, or it comes to nutrition, or it comes to, you know, training for whatever, exercising, whatever, sweating, whatever it might be. They're like, oh, it's a lot. You know, it's a lot to go shopping. It's a lot to do this research. It's a lot. And I'm like, you know what? It's not a lot. It's necessary. Mm-hmm. Someone that is in prime optimal health, whose blood labs come back phenomenal, who feel great, who are living their best life, you know, are happy, and they're not going to tell you it's a lot. They're going to tell you it's required.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like in jobs and in society, man, so many people want to get this result that's up here, but they want to do the work that's down here. You know, mm-hmm. Every single time somebody asks me, hey, what supplements for muscle gain? What's your secret for fat loss? I'm like, increase your micronutrient intake, be in a caloric deficit, and make better decisions. Like, mm-hmm. Expend more calories. You know, yeah. There is no magic to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just consistency over time, over and over and over again.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be like drastic consistency. No. Like, just get the ball rolling. Like, one of the things that you were saying that just made me think of this. Like, so I did my undergrad internship here in Dallas at the Cooper Aerobic Center. And one of Dr. Cooper's like most famous quotes, and he's got a few, but one of his most famous ones is, an ounce of prevention is worth more than a pound of cure. So even if it feels like what you're doing is a lot, it's a heck of a lot less than, you know, preventable diabetes, or preventable obesity, or preventable, you know, cardiac events, or preventable high blood pressure, or preventable stroke, or like, yeah, pretty much all these diseases that we know of are inflammatory related. So like, it's kind of worth it to put in a little work now to prevent all of that down the road.
Yeah, man, it really is. That's such a great way to put it, you know, but people have to be in a position, I think, to receive that. You know, all the stuff that we're talking about here today, the stuff we're talking about, I mean, you got to I eat plants. I don't take any dairy. I don't take any. You're on the opposite spectrum of that. But we're able to sit here and have like a conversation about it. And that's only because there's such an understanding of like how you get results and what works for people and what phase of your life that you're in. You got to be able to decipher all that noise, I think. You know, because there's so, and just like you're saying, I mean, now you're on Instagram and stuff, and you're like, Jesus Christ, like,
it's hard to look at sometimes.
It's a lot of, yeah, it's a lot. And you're just getting constantly bombarded with, here's the quick fix, and here's the that. And it's like,
yeah,
to be able to decipher the information, that's why I always say, like, you know, I mean, I'd want to like a mass, like I still am, like, I follow way too many people. I'm probably going to cut it down to about like 300. And some of them are friends and family. And then the other ones are mostly people that I want to associate with, that I want to learn from. Mm-hmm. And because I've got to control the amount of information that I'm taking in, like, you know, and you know, I'm, you know, probably sound like a broken record, but you know, seeking out a multitude of mentors, man, it's just something that just reigns it just over and over and over. You got to find those people who have the information. And like, Like, if Kevin is accessible to you, like I'm accessible to you, awesome. You know what I'm saying? There's probably somebody better than us. There's, you know what I mean? You know, there's, you know, tons of people, but you know, start with who you can get a hold of, and you know, DM people, ask them questions. People are on social media to be social, you know, so go, you know, go get the info, and you know, just make sure that you're, whatever you're doing, man, that you've got the right support system for you. And it's you know, I was so excited when I first saw all your stuff, man, because I was like, man, this guy's doing it the right way. And you know, you and I both know some coaches who are, you know, leading people astray. And it's, oh, yeah. And it's because they're sharing what worked for them. And most times what they did was such an extreme. Mm-hmm. It's not something that they could, that even they could maintain, or maybe they are now, but it's not going to work for them for long. Mm-hmm. And it's not their fault that that's how they learned. It is their fault that they continue to not learn. Yes. You know, so yes. You have to find the people who are all about that. I think I heard it from Travis Matt. It's a weird saying. I don't really say it much anymore. But the saying was for programming. It was, you got to crack a few eggs. I think it was Louis Simmons. You got to crack a few eggs to make an omelet. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to break a few athletes. You know what I mean? You're going to make a few mistakes. You're going to do the, you know, you're going to, you know, do the numbers for the, you know, caloric intake incorrectly. And then you're going to learn. Mm-hmm. That's what you want. You want people that are learning. You want people that are constantly adapting, not somebody that's like, this is how it's done. This is how I do it. And if you don't want to, probably don't want to work with somebody like that.
Yeah. Like when you apply this like zealot mentality to anything, you might get a lot of followers, but I don't think you're going to have long-term success. And so, yeah, that's one of the things that I appreciate you for, and being able to discuss things like this. Like, there's like no judgment when it comes to like the way I eat. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm with you though, when it comes to veggies, like you can't overdo it. Like there's so much benefit. And that's another thing that I want people to understand is like the benefit of eating vegetables doesn't stop if you like get animal source protein. So like don't avoid it. Like don't avoid plants. It's good. It's good stuff. It's going to help you out. It's going to reduce your total body inflammation. You're going to get micronutrients that you can't get in a lot of other places. Mm-hmm. You're going to feel better. Your body's going to work better.
And it's a lot, and I'm glad we talked about some of this stuff, like, you know, the protein and complete protein, because those are probably some of the biggest questions mm-hmm. that people have. And it's just, you just got to know, like, it's, I think people think it's like, there's an exact like science to it. Like there's one side. I'm like, nah, it's, once you understand that, it's really more about, I mean, even, you know, when you're coaching your clients, we would love for your clients to hit their exact numbers, right? Like your proteins, your fats, your carbs. For me, I'm like, hey, listen, let's try to hit your goal for your calories within like 10%. Mm-hmm. Let's just try that. Okay. Awesome. Yeah. So once you can do that consistently, then I would love to start focusing on getting the correct amount of protein in. All right. So let's find that balance. And then once we do that, I'm like, hey, let's, you know, now that we're getting our protein, which carbs might even still be just for fuel, you know what I mean? Then I'm like, hey, let's try to now hit, you know, choose one that you feel is easier for you, carbs or fats, mm-hmm. and let's try to hit that number. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which do you feel like you can live without more? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Let's make that be the one that we kind of make the emphasis.
Yeah. And setting ranges is way easier for people to be successful at. So mm-hmm. I agree.
Long term, you know what I mean? And then I like, you know, I provide like, you know, meal plans with my stuff as a guideline, but I'm like, yo, I don't care if you follow the macros or follow the meal plans, but let's find what works for you. And don't be so hard on yourself, man.
Yeah. You're human. You're only human. Yeah. You're going to make mistakes. Like that's part of it. So
yeah, man.
Sweet.
100%.
Well, how can everybody find you and follow you, Marcus?
Yeah, man. So My website is thewattsguyfitness.com. Actually, thewattsguyfitness.com/4-week access, same way it sounds. And you can get 30 days of access to my program. It's training, it's nutrition. Some people just sign up for it just to like see what the training looks like and see what the nutrition looks like. And then just take it away and just kind of learn from it. Mm-hmm. And after that, it's like less than $1 a day if you wanted to keep doing it. It's a bunch of educational resources. On Facebook, it's The Watts Guy Fitness. And on Instagram, it's The Watts Guy. So I do a lot of tutorial series on Instagram where it's like short stuff of like, you know, little training principles. I would like to keep it real simple and not all the, you know, internal rotation of the tip, you know, just keep it fun and simple to, you know, to help you guys, you know what I mean? But on YouTube, I'm going to start getting a lot more in depth. And on YouTube, it's The Watts Guy. So if you just search The Watts Guy on any of those, probably going to end up changing to Facebook to The Watts Guy as well. But yeah.
I'll put all those links in the YouTube video in the description so that everybody can jump on that and take a look. So make sure y'all do that right now. Don't waste any time. That's valuable information that you're going to be missing out on if you wait. Love don't it, wait.
And now I got to have you on my show. Like I said, I really want to launch the Destination Fit as like a separate like podcast. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully we'll do some collaborate. And then I'd love to have you come and speak, you know what I'm saying, to all my students and stuff. And just kind of drop some science bombs on them. So
that would be awesome. I'd love a trip to Florida. I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, man. Heck yeah. It's nice out here, boy. It's a little warmer than Texas. I mean, it's not warmer than Texas. It's just the humidity.
Yeah.
It's the humidity. That's really what it is.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm not down near Houston where it's a little
it's probably
a little more similar, but up here in Dallas, it's not too bad. The past couple of days, the weather's been pretty nice. So,
yeah.
But any concluders, any words of advice you think it's really important for everyone to hear?
Yeah, you know, I really would just say that, you know, when it comes to starting to have more of a plant-based diet, if it's something that you want to experiment with, I'd always say just use some of the principles that we're talking about, you know, increasing your greens, but just give yourself, you know, 30 to 60 days, you know, to just come up with a plan and just start putting something to test. Clean up your diet first. Let's remove things from your nutrition that aren't conducive to your goals. And logs are the best thing that you can possibly do. You know, log how you feel. Just like if, you know, if you don't have a train, I did a thing the other day that was on, hey, how many of you guys, you know, use training logs? And it was like 85% of people didn't. And I was like, how can you know how you're progressing? And it's the same thing with your food, you know, whether it's MyFitnessPal or it's an actual written journal. Listen to, you know, write down how you're feeling. Look at what your body's telling you. And just try to go, you know, progressive increase, literally, you know, over, you know, a month, 2 months. And seek out somebody that's done it. You know, ask them questions about how they did it. They'll tell you.
For sure. I think that's excellent advice. If you're not tracking it in some way, then how do you know if you're making success or making progress or not?
And then my plant-based blog will be back up. That's just the vegan transition, so that's like my little play space for plants.
Nice. Perfect. Well, Marcus, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. This has been an awesome conversation. I hope that everyone else finds it very edifying and educational, and I'm sure they will, because it was for me. So
thanks, man. Likewise, bro.
Sweet. Well, we will we'll definitely have you on again in the future to talk about more training related stuff, more nutrition related stuff.
And, yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, awesome. All righty, y'all. Take care and stay tuned for the next episode.